Welcome to Huron County's Life on the Coast, a podcast series about topics of importance and interest in Huron County. I'm your host, Roz Elliott, and we are delving into farm succession planning and transition. In our first episode, we hopefully set the table about the economic and social drivers affecting the future resilience of our 2,564 farms in Huron County, and the vital role they contribute in the world's food supply. If you missed that first episode, you can find it on Huron County's website at huroncounty.ca economic development. We go deeper this episode and take a step inside the succession and transition planning process with trusted business consultant Jim Lynn, who has been at the table with Huron farm families facilitating sensitive conversations. As we will learn, it's more than income statements, assets, and deal structure. It is about the family. As we have these conversations, we are reminded of the first people to care and steward the land and resources, who shared their knowledge with us, who helped us. We are respectful that we share this responsibility. I'm joined by Jim Lynn, and Jim's going to talk about the succession planning itself, being in that room, making it happen, thoughts, learnings, what makes it work, and what doesn't go so well. So Jim, welcome, and thanks for sharing your insights and expertise today.
Thanks, Roz.
Jim, a little bit about you. What's your background? Do you have a farm background?
I do. Actually, I was raised in the south end of the county. Family's farmed there for a number of years. My family still farms there, and actually farmed with the family for a period of time, and then actually left and joined one of the financial institutions as an account manager, agricultural account manager, because of my background, because I have an agricultural diploma as well as a degree from Western. And so I had a lot of experiences through that side of things, and then left the bank eventually and joined the local credit union, ending up as the CEO before I retired a few years ago. Since that point in time, in addition to some community work, I have become involved in some consulting, part of which is deals with this whole challenge of both ag business primarily and family farms transferring, because it's an interesting dynamic, because you've got such a wrap between the obviously the business part of things, but also the residences on there. There's a whole bunch of family stuff that goes with that. So, and I have had the opportunity to see kind of the good, the bad, and the ugly, both through my as an account manager, but also through the credit union side of things, and also through some family dynamics as well.
Jim, you also bring a unique perspective as a former CEO of a large organization. Transitions in business happen all the time. Readiness of leaders and organizational structure. We often don't think of farms this way, but they are complex organizations which a lot of knowledge transfer. That has to happen.
Absolutely. And I think that is one of both the opportunities and the challenges, is that it is a business. It's a unique type of business, but there does need to be some prep work done. And too often, it just happens. And whether it happens intentionally, whether you have a path or not, you're going to get someplace. And it's better to have a path that actually works for you and for the rest of the farm family as well.
Now, Jim, I think when people consider farm transition, they think about it simply as a legal and accounting exercise. And is that it? Is there more to it?
It's certainly a very important part of it, and the advisors on the legal and accounting are absolutely key partners. But in my experience, I have some obviously good experience on the technical side, but my experience is it's really, you have to focus on the emotional aspects of it, of the inner family, the family dynamics that go along with that. And to me, that's often where the stumbling blocks are. And often those issues don't get surfaced effectively as they're going forward. So certainly the legal and the accounting is really important, but you better have the rest of the stuff lined up almost before you really focus on the technical side of things.
Would you say when people first come in and sit down with you to help them with their plan, that they think it's mostly about the legal and accounting? Have they given thought to that first foundational, emotional, and familial relationships?
I think that often they see it as a technical thing, but in the back of their head and late at night, there's all this other stuff that they do know is there. They just don't, either don't want to deal with it or don't know how to kind of step forward to do that. But I think most people are pretty astute, and it's just how do we address the dynamics of both the potentially the successor generation, but also the other siblings and the spouses and the partners and all the other things that go with that. So I think generally people are aware of it, and it's just that thing you can't kind of put your finger on.
Right. Now, with that, when people first sit down with you, and this is going on in the back of their minds, they're uncomfortable, do they feel that they can bring it up with you? Are they comfortable, or is it something we just don't talk about? We often think of our farm families, I'm a farm girl as well, as being a little, you know, close to the chest. Is that something that you have to get over that barrier?
We have to go over the barrier, because I think often it's, again, it is addressed more as a technical issue, and yet they know it's there. And often, depending on who's in the room to start with, it's a bit of a journey, because you can't address all the issues up front. It's really building a comfort level. I find that often after that's started to establish, then one-on-one confidential discussions with the other parties really is needed before you can start building a bit of a path forward. Because often that surfaces things that both parties are thinking but either are unable or choose not to say, often at the risk of not hurting someone, not hurting isn't the right word, often making somebody else uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And so there is, it's like any other relationship, you've got to kind of, you know, there's that period of getting comfortable before you can actually get to the meat of the thing. So it's not, you know, I think often sometimes people will, you know, Tuesday we're going to fix this. You're not going to fix it Tuesday. It's a real journey. It takes some time, because people need thinking time and they need processing time as they go through this process.
It sounds a little bit like making sausage. It's not pretty at first and has to go through a lot of stages, and then you get this delicious meal at the end. But
yeah, I describe it as not being pretty. It's not complete, I would say, because there's just pieces around the edges that everybody knows in the room, but nobody wants to really talk about.
Now, Jim, if you have a key question that you say people have to deal with, what's that key question?
Well, I think often you start out by asking a question, which is, you know, do you want to be able to have the family, all the family, still together at Christmas time and enjoy it? Or are you just going to go through the motions and actually tolerate it? Because, you know, family tensions and dynamics can get built up over time, and things unsaid, things assumed can really be a factor. So, and invariably, people will say, well, of course we want to have a great family Christmas on and do that on an ongoing basis. And, you know, my position is, well, then let's put the process in place to actually achieve that. Because it may have been the last couple of years in the room, there may have been some tensions that just haven't been addressed.
I think that is such an apt way to describe it. Having a family gathering, it's comfortable, the business is running.
Yep.
What a great vision to have.
And again, I think that is, what does success look like is really a key question I really focus on in a lot of things I do. Because if you can't define what that success looks like and get a path to it, then, you know, you're just not going to get there.
You know, Jim, you and I have chatted over coffee many of times about succession planning, transitions, business strategy. And the one thing I always hear you say is hope is not, finish it for me.
Hope is not a strategy without vision and action. And I think that often, especially when you've got family dynamics at play, people hope that it will work out. But you have to have the vision as to what that looks like, i.e. what success looks like, and then put a path in place in order to actually achieve it.
And so there we are. We need this plan. So who are some of the folks that you obviously need in the room? You need your lawyers, your accountants. What advice do you have for people about who do you select? How do you go about finding them?
Sure. And when you say in the room, it's really a series of individual meetings. There may be joint meetings going along. You know, often Farm families have really trusted advisors, whether it be their accountants or their lawyers, and that's great, and they have to be key partners. Again, often what I find is farm families will say, well, they'll do this for me when it's right. But the lawyer or the accountant doesn't know that. They don't know the dynamics. And the lawyer and accountant often, while they are sensitive to some of the dynamics, that's not their job necessarily. So I would say that in my experience, and this is in a number of business things, get the right professionals involved up front. You know, be prepared to spend a few bucks with them, get the good advice. Because often, if you don't do that, you get into crisis management and fixing the problems afterwards. And that's not a good thing for anybody. And frankly, if your lawyer or your other professionals aren't doing it for you or haven't in the past, then look for alternatives. Ask your friends or ask somebody who does it. Because again, there are a range of people in the business all try and do a good job, but some are more technically inclined, but some take the more holistic view and understand the dynamics. So, you know, make sure you have the right professionals that are involved up front.
Yeah, you're only going to do this once.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, you're only going to do this once. So, Jim, if we talk about, I'm looking at a typical farm family and all sort of the constituents in the room, there's a lot of different players, there's a lot of different mm-hmm. people with interests, motives, things they want to accomplish. We often talk about fairness. How do you think about fairness when you think about everyone sort of getting their needs met or their wants met?
Well, I think there's one of the dynamics that you have to get on the table reasonably quickly is, and it's different for every situation, is fair necessarily equal? Mm. Because you may have multiple children, next generation, but you may have one or two that have really been involved from an early age. So it isn't necessarily the case that you want to be equal, but you got to be fair, and fair defined. So how much have the other kids been helped? What are their particular needs? And everybody's different and unique. So I think you need to, because the going in assumption often for the non-farm families, it will be equal. And that it may be, it may not be.
Right.
But if you don't have that discussion or that dynamic established, pretty tough to come to a situation where that Christmas dinner is good. Because there's always stuff rolling around people's heads. In the absence of a good system or a process, information gets created.
Don't we know it? That's so true.
Yeah.
Now, Jim, let's talk about the ideas that are rolling around in different people's heads. And let's look out 5 years.
Yep.
And say we did this successfully. What would that look like for some of these different roles? I'm going to just go through a few of them.
Sure.
Let's talk about, say, the founding family, the parents, the senior folks in that are passing along the farm. What does success look like for them?
Well, generally, they're going to be concerned about, will they have enough money to do the things they need to do? That's number one. And often, you know, there may be many dollars worth of assets, but is it going to be available to them? So how do you generate sufficient cash or investments to do that? That's one. One of the things that often doesn't get dealt with as effectively as it is who's going to make the decisions and when.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and again, it goes back to this dynamic of how that gets done. So the next generation coming in will have probably prepared to take on more risk, do things differently. And if there's a bit of an anchor in place with the previous generation that doesn't get addressed, you know, there is this dynamic that can lead to conflict, maybe too strong a word, but tension, I would say. And so I'm a big believer that, you know, for a decent-sized farm operation, they should have a process in place as how are we going to make decisions. Do we have, you know, people won't like this, but quarterly management mm-hmm. meetings where they actually talk about what's our investment decisions or how are we going to do things for the next period of time? Because often, if not, what happens is that gets done what I call a drive-by, you know, in the barn, walking around in the field, you know. Sometimes people are prepared for that discussion, sometimes they aren't. So I'd much rather see that there be a, and that has to be discussed, frankly, as part of this transition of actually getting a process in place that says, how are we going to make decisions, you know, that may be different in year one than in year five, because there's a transition point that goes with that. And often I find the barrier there is not the new generation, it's the old generation. Mm-hmm. It's, yeah, I want the kids to take on the farm, but they better be checking with me for decisions. And fair, because they've got a bunch of assets and their life tied up in it, but you need a process to allow that transfer to go through.
Yeah, and again, if I think about a big business, an organization, yep. You have your regular leadership meetings, you're identifying issues, challenges, opportunities, near-term, mid-term needs. So that is a business sort of practice, a standard operating practice.
Well, it is, and I think one of the things you said earlier on about, you know, get things in place for 5 years, but the reality of it, things change in five mm-hmm. years. So you better have a way to make mid-course adjustments, whether it be because of economics, because of other situations. You better have a way to actually talk about those things and say, yeah, we were going here, but we need to shift a bit at this point in time to make this thing work.
Have you experienced in this sort of people who have things milling about in their heads, someone who's married into the farming mm-hmm. family, and what's that dynamic look like?
And that is an interesting dynamic, right? Because it depends to some degree on the background of that person. Do they come from either a business background or a farm background? Because by the nature of that, it's kind of baked in, they have an understanding. If they're not, it can be quite a transition. And again, it's this alignment of expectations as to, can we take that holiday? Can we renovate the house? Can we buy that, whatever it may be? You know, can we spend enough time with the kids? You know, there's all these things that often can be a bit of a surprise to someone who comes in from the outside. And that, you know, obviously that can be either male or female, depending on who that person is coming in. The other factor, at the risk of raising an issue that will bring some tension to some people who are listening, is this whole issue of prenup agreements. Mm. Because... and that is often something that the lawyers will be saying, you need to do this, and somebody's saying, yeah, well, we're not going to raise that issue. And so how do you raise those things? Because, you know, that does bring a dynamic into not just the farm family moving in, but it certainly does for the previous generation, and it does for the other siblings who are observers and parties to this whole thing as well. So you need to find a way to have those discussions where it's not a negative, it's just a reality of that. Yeah. And often, frankly, the bankers are going to want to ask those questions too, right? Because they, as creditors, they're going to say, okay, have you thought about how you're going to figure this out and deal with this? Because you're introducing risk. Anytime you bring more people in, regardless of what it is, there's a certain level of both opportunity and risk that goes with that.
Yeah, I really get the sense of structure is important.
Yep.
Again, the analogy to a big business, just how you manage risk. A lot of these people are investors too. If you think about
sure
some of the family members, the senior, other siblings might be investors in the business because they might be getting some element out of it too, maybe to a lesser proportion. So everyone has an interest, don't they?
Sure. Now you said big business. I mean, really any business.
Any business.
And I deal with some ag-related businesses as well. And really a lot of the same dynamics. You don't have quite the same where people aren't actually living one of the primary assets, because that's often a real dynamic that goes with this. So maybe you may not have that, but the issues are the same.
Yeah.
You know, things like shareholder agreements in terms of often they're incorporated, right? What happens if someone gets sick, someone is no longer mm-hmm. able to do that, someone leaves, you know, getting those things hammered out in advance so that there's a framework for being able to deal with those things. Because again, you can't predict what the world will look like. Life happens while you're making plans, right? And so you're not trying to be negative. You're just saying, how can we put a framework in place that can move things forward?
So Jim, my question to you is, when should we start this planning? If I'm a farm family, when do I start these conversations?
Probably about 2 years ago. and often I think it gets kind of talked about in generalities when someone maybe comes home and worked full time or is indicating that, but it really needs to start early. There's a lot more flexibility if families start, and this is going to seem early, but you know, when the first generation is in their 40s, early 40s, because there's some really effective insurance strategies that you can put in place to fund either the parents' backstop, but also fund things such as the other siblings. So that the farm family who takes it on doesn't have to sell assets. So I think early is good. And again, it's not going to happen over a week, but you need to put time frames in place. I think that's the other thing is people get started and they say, oh, this is great, we'll get to it. Where I push them, it's no. We need to have a plan here. Like 2 months from now, we need to have this accomplished. Who's doing what when? And so I think you need to have a framework. You know, a bit of a story, Raj. Early on in my career, it happened before I got there, but we had a farm family, and this was in the 80s when things were pretty tough. Dairy farm, you know, carried a fair bit of debt. We're just at that stage of starting to grow and do things. And dairy farm, decent herd of cattle. The farming husband, reasonably good health, did the chores in the morning, walked in, had breakfast, died on the spot. And it just devastated the family. Now, the interesting dynamic there was a son, probably 12, 13, 14, who has expressed some interest in it. Interestingly, that family had put creditor insurance in place for their loans. Everything was paid off within 10 days. And I'm not necessarily saying that, you know, creditor insurance from an FI is the right way to go, but the reality of it was it gave that family the ability to hold on to that farm until the next generation made a decision. They didn't keep the cows, they did for a while. But I've often thought about that, right? Because life happens while you're making plans. There was no indication it would be a problem, right. But they'd have been in a pretty tough shape if that had not been the case.
So in that case, the insurance strategy that they had the foresight to do saved them. So as you say, life happens, a death can happen, serious illness can happen. I don't know about you, Jim, but sometimes I find it doesn't always bring out the best in us.
Yeah, and I think that is the other thing is these discussions can bring out tensions. Often settling estates leads to tensions, and again, doesn't bring out the best in people. And it's just part of that is we all define the situation on our own perceptions. In the absence of information, we create a story. And that story generally, you know, our interests tend to be top of mind as we're going forward. And I think that's the other thing to think about is often the second generation farm family can make it work, but they need time. So there needs to be a plan to talk about that to say, yep, you will get paid out, but you're not getting paid out of X for in the next 3 years. You need to be a creditor of this operation versus having your cash next Tuesday, because next Tuesday is not going to happen. There has to be a transition. So again, that's the discussion that has to take place. If people have enough information, then they can make reasonable decisions, I think.
Yeah, and you think again of the creditors. You mentioned creditors of the business. Creditors from my investor relation days love certainty.
Yeah, and what you'll see is often they will be the one prompting some of those discussions, right, at the annual review time. And it's basically, so tell us about your succession plans and how this is going to work out. And, you know, too often it's, well, we're going to, that's something we're thinking about. And they will, depending on the risk to the creditor, they'll say, that's great. If there's a lot of risk or there's issues going on, it may become a bigger discussion point real quick, because obviously for them, business continuity on the farm or the related business is an important factor as they go forward.
It could be something as simple and straightforward as who has signing authority.
Absolutely. And it's little things like, you know, who's going to be able to pay the bills if a crisis happens? Who's going to be able to pay the bills? And, you know, people have misconceptions about what powers of attorneys, how they work. We can deal with that. Well, power of attorney ends the day that somebody dies. You better have something figured out as far as who's going to be the executors, who's going to deal with the farm assets, how that's going to actually work. And again, that's a really important discussion to have with your legal and accounting professionals. I have stories and stories about people who made assumptions about stuff and literally could not pay the bills because they didn't have anybody else to sign the checks.
Something as simple as that.
Yep.
Yeah, the little things, dot the I's, cross the T's.
Right.
Make sure you have basic business practices. We seem to keep coming back down to this is a business, and sort of the structures. Communication in business is so imperative. As you say, making sure you understand where people are coming from, assumptions, that's a big piece of it.
It really is. And again, I truly believe people go into these things with the best of intentions. But we all assume things from what we understand and what we have learned, and there may or may not be alignment. And again, the other thing is you don't know what dynamics have taken place with the siblings growing up, right? I mean, that's the favorite. No, that's the favorite. Somebody thinks that someone's been favored. And that's either reality or not a reality. It doesn't make any difference. It's people's perceptions. And those things all tend to bubble to the top in times of stress. And, you know, again, if your goal is to actually like to have that dinner, family dinner with everybody, then best that you think about that before you go forward. But somebody's got to take ownership of it. The other thing is it can't be a group think, well, we're all going to do this. Somebody's got to take ownership of this thing.
Yeah, at the end of the day, the CEO makes the final decision, don't they?
Yep.
Now, you play an important role. When you are in these conversations and discussions, you act as a facilitator. And why is it important to have an external facilitator and not just have someone in the family play that role?
Yeah, great question. And again, I only do a selective amount of consulting, so I've got other things going on. But in my business experience as well, what I find is that I can say the same things as a facilitator in the same tone with the same intent as a family member could, and it's perceived entirely different. And again, in my business life, we went through a number of mergers, and we learned to bring in outside facilitators, a couple of them really good, because again, same thing, is people look at you if you're internal to it and say, well, there's something else going on here. That's not really what they mean, whereas an outside person can say the same things. And sometimes, frankly, somebody has to call people on things. You know, where people are intimating things or you get the eye roll thing or whatever it may be. And sometimes you got to pull them aside and say, I'm not sure if you appreciate how that was perceived, but we need to get past that because that does not help to build an environment that you can get things done. So now again, to be fair, your lawyer can fill that role, your accountant can fulfill that role, depends on the relationship you have with those people. But it is very tough for someone, unless it's all sweetness and light and puppy dogs and kittens.
Who are those
and
people?
And I'm still looking for those. You know, there's always stuff under the surface that bubbles, and you have to find a way to surface that stuff.
Yeah, you've got a long history, perhaps 50 years at that time together as a family, and this is not the most easy time for people. It's a stressful, anxious time. So again, we don't hear as much as we would in good times. We tend to hear less when we're stressed. So it's a greater challenge to really feel heard and understood.
Well, it can be, but I think the other side of that, Roz, is that sometimes it's a huge relief, right? Because once you start down a path.
Interesting.
Even if you're doing it internally, if you start down a path and people can see that there's progress being made, I think it starts to build some momentum and you can actually make some good progress. But again, somebody's got to take ownership of the process, because otherwise, oh yeah, well, we'll deal with that in the fall after the corn's off. Yeah, it's a busy time, but some really good thinking times in tractors and combines after you kind of get some of the issues on the table, I would suggest. Or in the barn.
In the barn, yep. Yeah. It's like the water cooler.
Yep. Well, yeah, again, I caution people to avoid what I call the drive-by, is just we're going to deal with the world's issues as we have a coffee if I catch you in the barn. Yeah. And that's not the way to do it.
But maybe I catch you in the barn and say, we need to book some time to seriously
Correct.
Sit down.
Absolutely.
And maybe that's the way to go about it.
That's right.
A lot of think time ahead for people as they're in their cabs, taking off the crop. So this is a good time for people to sort of reminisce and think about this, ponder this. Last parting thoughts, Jim, about that you would encourage people to think about.
Well, I think often there needs to be good discussion between the partners in each generation, too, because often they don't necessarily talk about those things, right? As, you know, so that, let's say, the generation that's potentially passing on all or part of the business or selling it or whatever the process is, do they have alignment as to what they want to do? So one of the exercises I like to do is to have people write a story of what things will look like 5 years in the future in the present tense. And doing the present tense is really important. So not I will, it's I am.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one farm family that the husband wanted to build a shop and do woodworking. And the wife looks at him and goes, I never knew you wanted to do that. She wanted to get a musical studio because she was quite musical. So they decided they were going to actually build a building with the two in there. But they never had that discussion. You know, it was an interest that they didn't have time to do. And I think often there can be a mismatch as to, well, we're going to sell the business, we're going to retire, we're going to travel to Europe, we're going to go to South every winter, and the other spouse is going, yeah, maybe once, that's not working for me, right? And I think there needs to be some good discussions there. But the same thing with the next generation as to, we talked before, as to what does success look like for that family? And if you got kids and hockey and ringette and everything else shown in the mix, then, you know, you better have a plan. You have a framework. I wouldn't say a plan, a framework as to what that looks like.
So bring it home for me, Jim. At the end, success looks like?
Success looks like being able to sit down and have a really pleasant Christmas dinner and that the business continues on in the way that you want it to. So it's intentional versus getting someplace where you weren't sure you wanted to get. And that's, I think every farm family wants to see that that next generation be successful, but you gotta put a plan in place to make that happen.
As we heard in our first episode, 58% of Huron Farms do not have a succession plan, not even a verbal one. That means only $1.7 billion of Huron County's $12 billion in farm capital is planned for. As Jim Lynn says, the most important step you can take is to start. And you can make that start by attending a one-day farm succession planning event called Finding Fairness in Farm Transition, featuring Canada's farm whisperer and family coach, Elaine Fraze. That's on November 16th in Goderich, offered by the Huron County Economic Development Department. For more information, go to huroncounty.ca/economic development. And you can even sign up for a one-hour individual coaching session with Elaine Fraze on November 17th. It can be your first step towards ensuring your family farm's succession. Elaine will be back on February 29th for a farm succession webinar. More to come on that. Our next episode, we will hear the perspective of three women founders of Huron County Run Farms and their experience with transition planning, all here on Huron County's Life on the Coast. Thanks for listening. I'm Roz Elliott. This podcast is funded in part by the Ontario Ministry of Agriculture, Food, and Rural Affairs and the County of Huron. The views expressed in this podcast are not those of the province or county.